We're going to talk about a time for miracles. A time for miracles. The reading is coming from several places, but in the book of Judges, chapter 6, this is a story of God calling a man named Gideon. An interesting thing about Gideon is that he was what I would call unqualified. It's amazing how God chooses a nobody and makes him somebody. And it seems like he majors in outcasts, people who the society has deemed them, you know, as the fact that they can't make it or whatever have you. But God has a different method of choosing people. I was teaching in staff meeting and taught them about Samuel and over in 1 Samuel 16 and how he chose David. But he said, don't look at his outward part. He said, I'm looking at the heart. And so here is Gideon, but what was happening is Israel was in bad shape. And they were having their crops destroyed. The enemy was bullying them. It was just a mess. And God sent an angel. And this angel came. And basically, verse 11, I'll start right there. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which it was an Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abizurite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and he said unto him, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his what? Miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, God promised you and I in Matthew 28 that he will never leave us or forsake us and some other place. But he will basically never leave us. And so he hasn't left us. And miracles haven't left us. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And basically, Jesus himself was a miracle worker. And he came to show us again what God's heart is and what God feels about people. And in several places, the Bible talks about he healed them all. Now, you're not telling me everybody in that bunch was living right. You know, and I know, they were not all living right. But isn't it interesting how God still healed them? So I'm saying that to you because even in the book of James, in James chapter 5, and starting reading at verse 14, he says, is any among you sick? Or any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, what will happen? Did he say any sins? If you've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. And I want you to know that sins there is any sin. Anything that was done that was against God, they'll be what? They'll be forgiven. God has a whole lot of love. A whole lot of love. And I would firmly believe that miracles are expression of the love of God. Then after you've done all that you can do to mess up, God's going to use a miracle and clean you up. And it's not about how much you deserve. Because think about it, you really don't deserve to even be in here. But God has a plan for you. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I think it is a plan for good and not for evil, to give you what? An expected end. What is an expected end? It's what God has written in a book about you. See, he wrote a book about you before you came in the earth. And you might have gotten off, but now is the time for a rewrite. But he never changed his mind because he's a faith God. So as you're in this earth, Jesus talked about how to pray. And you'll find that over in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And I'll start reading here at verse 9. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in earth as it is in heaven. So God wants earth to be like heaven. Amen. Now, how is it in heaven? Is anybody sick in heaven?
No.
Is anybody broke in heaven? Is anybody mentally tormented in heaven? Anybody depressed in heaven? All right, I'm just letting you know that this is what Jesus was ministering based on. He was ministering based on a mindset of making wherever he went like heaven on earth. So if there are people sick, got them healed. If there are people oppressed by demons, you got them delivered. Say amen to this. So as we look at this, as I minister under the notion that I've got to think like God thinks. Are you following what I'm saying? I've got to allow God to create heaven on earth through me. And so when I come here with a mindset that everybody up in here is going to be healed. See, I don't come here with a mindset of thinking, well, you did something too bad. Well, look at you and, you know, and so forth and so on. That's not the idea. And then, in fact, let's go to a scripture on that. I'm just kind of flowing by the Holy Ghost here. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 9, it says, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Amen. That's interesting, because the idea about it, if you got some affliction or something, it means that you sinned, right? And this, Jesus had to correct him. He said, wait a minute. He said, I must work the works of him I'll start there at verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, what you see here is not the work of God. But I'm going to work the works of God. And you're going to see that. Now, why does he say that? Because people have gotten all kinds of notions that sometimes sickness glorifies God. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if that be the case, then why doesn't everybody just get sick? And we just give all the glory to God. Just do away with all the physicians. Everybody's come for healing. They'll be the enemy. Get them away from me. No, no, no. Jesus bore your sicknesses. So why should me and Jesus lay up in the bed sick? Am I right about it? If he bore it, then it means you don't have to bear it. So you got to get your thinking right on this sometimes. And so he has a scripture, Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 4 and 5. He said that surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Griefs are sicknesses and diseases. And then carried our sorrows. Sorrows have to do with pain and suffering. So I'm translating those for you so you can put them in your Bible. And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Some people thought that he was a martyr, and or that God had afflicted him because he got out of line with God. But then it corrects the theology. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for what? Our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All right? Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, I remember this guy. I was ministering in a housing project in... As I was ministering out there, my first congregation was outdoors. Amen. You know, I wasn't looking for a pulpit somewhere. My first preaching was out in housing projects and where people were hurting and so forth. Took the gospel out there. And so I'm preaching and I began to talk about, you know, healing and deliverance and so forth. And so I called for people to be born again. So what happened is this one man came up and I could tell he was inebriated. That means he was drunk. And so he came up and his arm was in a sling. And he came up to be born again, to be saved. So what I did is I prayed for him the prayer of salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be born, you shall be saved. So what happened? I prayed that prayer and he prayed it. And then the Spirit of God told me to ask him what happened to his arm. He said, my wife cut me. So I knew then I had some real issues on my hands here. But she cut me. I said, okay, so the arm was all bandaged up. And he said it cut his wrist and he couldn't move his hand because whatever was linking the mechanism to have him move his fingers was cut, it's gone. And so I said, all right, I'm gonna pray for you. And so I started praying for him. Now, I was in a housing project and sometimes, you know, a shoot out there and so forth. So the Bible says watch and pray. So I put one eye open and I begin to pray for him. You don't mind if I'm transparent with this thing, do you? And so I begin to pray for him. And when I did, his arms start to move out. And he said, preacher, look, I can move my hand. No, he couldn't do that before I prayed. Okay, and then I had another person helping me over here who apparently also had a little alcoholic problem himself. You see, I had some good help. And he said something. He went and reached across me and grabbed the man's hand and yanked it and said, "Well, shake my hand then." And he shook it, and the man said, "Look at that, Reverend, look at that, look at that." So he said, "I'm going home and take the bandages off my side. I believe I'm healed there too." I said, "Brother, I'm glad you're here. It's by the grace of God that you're standing here." Brother got some kind of wife, and she just and so the idea about that is a couple of things. One, it was a miracle. And what happens is when anybody gets born again, that is the greatest miracle in the Bible. That's greater than the splitting of the Red Sea. That's greater than Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, whose body had started to decompose. That is the greatest miracle in the scripture, to be born again. This is bringing your spirit and recreating it in your body. Are y'all with me here? Now, I want you to see this, because he said in verse 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Now, keep that scripture in front of you. Notice two things. One, he bare our sins in his own body on a tree. What is the tree that he's referencing there? The cross. So Jesus went to the cross for you and bore your sins. Now, whatever you're condemned about in your past, get over it, because he took it all. He took it all. And when you come to Christ, God looks at you as if you never, ever sinned. Got it? Well, he not only took your sin, but it says here, by his stripes, you were healed. So he took the diseases as well. And if you know anything about the Passion of Christ, and some people have seen that movie by Mel Gibson, but he got beat. And any time that he was beat like that, that lash was supposed to represent one of the major diseases or disorders that can come in a person's body. Not the actual sickness itself, but the category of that sickness. And every time, so it was something done, true enough, you saw the physical part in his body, but the healing wasn't physical, it was spiritual. It was spiritual. See, all healing comes, if you get healing from God, it comes from the Spirit. And it destroys the ground by which the sickness is embedded. If you look at Isaiah chapter 52, and in Isaiah chapter 52, it says that he, verse 13, let's say in verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, and he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than what? Any man, and his form more than the sons of men." What does that mean to you? It means that he was so emaciated, he was so beaten by that whip, eye socket was out, whatever it was, until it would be difficult to identify him as a man. Now, this is how much he took for you. He took so much for you until you look at him and couldn't hardly tell this was a man. That's how much he took for you to go on that cross. Now, I'm saying everything Satan would throw at us, Jesus took it. Now, that had to be depression, perverted life, anything that had to do with sickness, disease, and mental and physical, anything, he took it all. Plus, he took all of your condemnation. He took everything that your spirit would try to put on your spirit and weaken your spirit so that healing won't come to you. He took all of that. So inside and out, he took it. And on that cross, he cried, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He had been now separated from the Father, didn't know him anymore, calling out to him. And he took everything that you deserve, and he took it, and the soldiers said, "If you are the Son of God, then bring yourself down from there." The Bible says in the Old Testament, you'll say, "Physician, heal yourself." Because he had the capability of not going. He had power that could come through him. But he gave his life. Nobody killed him. He gave it for you and for me so that we could come back to the Father. It wasn't the stripes that hurt him. What hurt him is the separation from the Father, who he and the Father were one. And so what happened? Now, he went to the grave. He spent 3 days and 3 nights, the Bible says, in the belly of the earth. Watch this, being tormented by demons. And then when heaven's justice system saw that justice had been satisfied, a voice came from the infinite of time. "Get him up!" And that was it. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came on him. And he was the first man born from death to life. Adam was the first man born from life to death. So for Jesus to get us back, he had to go through death's door. And he entered in, and Satan thought he had him, but now Jesus, the power of resurrection came in his body, and God raised him from the dead. And the first thing that he did was open combat with Satan. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers. And the Bible says he made a show of them openly. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Chapter 2 and verse 14 in Colossians. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Now, I got to tell you what this means. It means that you and I, because of Adam's sin, you and I were in debt. We owed our lives. And it's like being on a pawn shop. And now you got to be redeemed. Somebody's got to come with a pawn shop ticket and give the pawn shop owner the ticket and pay the price to get this item out of the pawn shop. So what happened is you and I were in hock. We were in the pawn shop. But Jesus came to pay the price to get us out. And the Bible says, nailing it to the cross. That is a representation of the old Jewish custom, that when you were in debt and you got out of debt as a business, you would take the debtor's receipt that shows that you have paid your debt, which reflects that you are an honest business person, and you attack it to the outside of your business. And when people see that, they'll say, wow, this is an honest business person. We can do business with him. Today, we don't do that. Here's what you see today. We've been in business since 1842. That's what you see. And that is to show you that we must be doing business honestly to be in business that long. So I'm saying what he did is he actually nailed it to the cross. When he was nailed to that cross, it was showing that the debt was paid. See, he was nailed to the cross. And then once that was done, then now Jesus goes in open combat with the devil. And look what he says in verse 14 again. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is kind of interesting, because the Roman custom was, is that once you go out and fight a battle, then you would not only fight the battle and win, but get the spoil. And when you get the spoil, you'll come back to the Roman city and you'll have a long procession. And one of the first people that goes forth is the general who led the war and won the, got the battle won. But after that general comes a procession. And the procession first is all the spoil that was taken. And so what Jesus did is he led captivity captive. He not only defeated Satan in open combat, but now he took back everything Satan had stolen. And that has to do with you and me. And so when he came up to heaven, he led captivity captive. Now, who are the ones captive? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All those people couldn't go to heaven. Why? Because Jesus had not yet spread the blood. And once he got up from that grave, defeated Satan, he took the blood and put it on the mercy seat of God, and the blood now cries out, because the blood speaks and it cries out, not guilty, not guilty. Your name came up, not guilty. Your name came up, not guilty. Your name came up, not guilty. Why? Because Jesus paid the price. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that once he did that, now he's coming back to the earth and he gets his disciples together and he says, all right, now what we're going to do is send you out, and you're going to go out and tell them that I'm not dead, I am alive. And I'm doing the same thing today as I did yesterday. And I'm going to be in you. You see, you don't need to be a, you don't need to have a body to be who you are. Your body is just carrying you around. Right now, the real you is inside of there. And when that body hits the dust, the real you comes up out of there. Say amen to that. So I'm just saying Jesus is alive today. He's alive yesterday, and he is alive forevermore. And he is in you right now. Now, what is he doing? The same thing he did yesterday. He's healing the sick, delivering the... Who is he doing it through? He's doing it through you. What do you have to do to make sure that he moves on your account? Call his name. All you have to do is understand that everything that you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Let's show you that scripture. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, if you will, and look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father, what? By him. So notice what you have to do if you're going to pray. Look how it says pray. And this is John, and John chapter 14, and look at verse 13. And he says this, "And whatsoever you shall ask," come on, "in my name," keep going, "I will do it." Verse 14, "if you shall ask anything," come on, "in my name, I will do it." Now that word ask comes from a Greek word, aito. And it doesn't mean ask like you're pleading for some promise or something. It doesn't mean that. It means whatever you demand. Whatever you demand. Let me show you the request kind of ask that you want. Look at John chapter 16. I think we read it on our offering time. Look what it says in verse 23. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father," what? "In my name." Keep going. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. Now this is interesting here, because all of a sudden, this name is the thing that's on the line. This whole idea about this name. So in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, "And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Alms are like a beggar asking for some money or whatever have you. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise up," come on, "and walk." "Then Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Watch this. "And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered into with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Now then they came on Peter, and Peter said in verse 14, "And Peter, standing without the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, 'You men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken," glory to God. Pardon me, I'm in the wrong place. Verse 12, my page split. You stay where you're supposed to be. Verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when Pilate was to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted you." Now watch this, follow this. "And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole," this man strong. Now I want you to see that. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Now this is very, very key. Because now in chapter 4 and verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," glory to God, "and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," So this will work for you even if you're ignorant. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Watch this. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of council, they conferred among themselves. Now this is what they came up with, saying, what shall we do with these men? For this indeed is a notable miracle, which has been done by them, is manifest to us, to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. That's why the devil doesn't want miracles. But that it spread no further among the people, watch this, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man what? In the name. Keep going. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Notice what it didn't say. Let's stop the miracles. Let's tell them don't work anymore miracles. They didn't tell them that. They said, no, let's stop the name. Let's see, if you don't stop the name, you won't stop the miracles. And to preach and teach in the name, what happens when you teach something? Understanding comes, faith comes. So I can teach you the name, and when I teach you the name, faith will come in the name. And what will the name do? Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. So in the book of Acts, they didn't have anything but that name. What did they do in that name? They got baptized in the Holy Ghost in that name, spoke in tongue in that name. The Bible said they gathered together in that name. The Bible said he sent them out to heal the sick, and they healed them in his name. Everything that he did to cast out devils in his name. So notice what happened. The name. What has happened to the modern church? Some people are afraid to use the name. You get up in front of the prayer group or get up in front of a public audience, and all of a sudden they don't want you to use the name. I'm saying people be on the bus and they'll talk about God and the man upstairs, but somehow won't use the name. Because when the name is used, glory to God, when the name is used, he said over in the Philippians, the book of Philippians, and it says this. He said that Jesus, glory to God, verse 8, being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. And chapter 2, verse 8, and himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him, come on, a name which is above every name. It's above sickness. It's above manic depression. It's above eye disease. It's above all your family problems. It's above lack in finances. It's above job lack. It's above anything that you can name. It's above that. That means it has the authority over that situation. It says in verse 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee. And I'm telling you, when you got that name, you come in a room, demons start bowing. They know if you believe in that name. You go through the book of Acts, it's all about that name. What did they do in that name? They healed in that name, delivered in that name, cast out devils in that name, preached in that name. Everything was in the name. Why? Because the name was the authority by which they need to do these things. It wasn't them. When I was working for IBM, I came and gave them a card that said IBM. I'm just a representative of that company. I'm saying you're a representative of heaven, who is the king of heaven is Jesus. And you're representing him in this earth. So give them your calling card. Work a miracle. Lay hands on the sick. Let them know that the name, you possess that name. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So look what's going to bow. Every knee should bow. And the things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's why I leave that sign up there that Jesus is Lord. Because up in here, it ain't but one name that we function by. And that is the name that is above. So, Lord, where are all your miracles? I'll tell you where they are. God's people got away from that name. Let me show you what happened in the book of Acts in chapter 19. Oh, in the book of Acts in chapter 19, this is when some preacher's kids, they saw Paul working miracles. And it said in verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So, oh yeah, you can bring a handkerchief. Amen. Somebody's got that anointing flowing through them. Amen. Lay hands on that handkerchief. You take it home to your unsaved uncle. One lady brought some chewing gum because her husband liked to chew. And they took it and laid hands on it, Charles and Francis Hunter, and gave it back to her. And she went home, and her husband wanted some gum. Honey, you got some gum? Yeah, here's some right here. By the time he chewed it down about five times, he said, oh, Lord Jesus. He said, I think I'm going to church with you Sunday. Well, you don't get the anointing of God without the anointed one. Amen. Wherever you find the anointing, he's there. Amen. And what is he there to do? Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Burden removing, yoke destroying power. He's still doing the same thing today. But let's go back to Acts chapter 19. So these are some preacher's kids. So now look what happened. Verse 12. So that from his body were taken, brought sick handkerchiefs and so forth. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, which took upon themselves, upon them, to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus who Paul preaches. And these were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. PKs, preacher's kids. And the evil spirit answered and said, now Jesus, I know. Come on, come on. Paul, I know. Now the members of Living Word, I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and came upon them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He sent them streaking down the road. You know why? Because they didn't know the name. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That the righteous can run to it and be safe. That means that that name will even put up a protection around you. It was a lady one time, actual story, that she came, was getting in a car and was in a dark place in the city. And some people came, two men came and grabbed her, one by the throat, one grabbed her garment there and began to rip it off. And she said, Jesus! And she noticed one of them let go. She said, whoa, Jesus! And noticed the other one let go. Jesus! Just call the name now. And they let go and ran. Well, she described them, police caught them, and she came to the police department or down to police headquarters to identify them. Got down there, and she said, yeah, these are the ones. And they said, as they were taken away, they turned around and said, excuse me, miss, who are those two big men that were standing with you? See, she couldn't see the angels. But when you call the name means salvation. It means salvation. My people are destroyed for what? So in Proverbs, put it up, chapter 18, in verse 10, he said this. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. We baptize in that name. The controversy came. Somebody said, well, I don't understand because I thought the way to baptize with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not trying to stir up controversy. I'm just going to tell you what's in the Bible. Well, if you look in the Bible and you look and see in Psalm, in Matthew chapter 28, and you'll see that he says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the what?
Name
of the Father, come on, and the Son. See the word name? It has no S on it. It's only one name. When you say Jesus, you said it all. I'm just giving you another degree now. I'm trying to tell you why no miracles there. Because we've come down and down and down and down, and no longer are we immersing, now we sprinkling, no longer we sprinkling. A lot of churches being put up now, no baptism place, no nothing, so forth. I go to preach and I say, how about calling for souls up in here? Come on, man. We got to get people saved. Yes, why? Somehow we've been seduced, carried away by tradition or doctrines of devils.
Yes.
They hate that name. Don't you ever forget that. So I was at a church, and when I learned about the name, and I was talking, we were in a Bible study, in a Sunday school, rather. They had a Sunday school, and this is my progression as I was getting saved and so forth. And they said that, and the guy, I was telling a story about a guy who got baptized, and then he went back out on drugs. The guy said, where was he baptized? And I couldn't remember. He said, well, how was he baptized? I said, well, I think he was baptized in the name of Jesus. He said, no, he wasn't. I said, he wasn't? He said, no. You can't get baptized in that name and go back out on drugs. When I heard that, that thing startled me. I never forgot it. You know why he said that? I wrote something down here in my notes this morning. When the anointing is released, when you call that name, it not only conquers whatever is harassing or molesting you, but it eradicates every work, an assignment of Satan. If you look in the Bible, you'll see. Now, I'm just talking about the name. I'm not talking about controversy. I'm talking about the name. I want you to believe so much in that name till you don't want to even talk about nothing else. And what happens is when they went through the Red Sea, remember the Bible says they were baptized into Moses. But when you're going through the Red Sea, what's the Red Sea? The Red Sea is coming from slavery, from Pharaoh, come on, into the wilderness, into that next place. And as you come into that next place, the next thing that happened is the Red Sea closed up on Pharaoh. Do you remember that? See, when you're baptized, it's supposed to close up. Not only are you supposed to be delivered, but it's supposed to seal up anything chasing you. Y'all stay with me. Anything chasing you, it'll seal it up. I'm not trying to get doctrinal and doctoral and try to mix all the, I'm not saying that, fine, you save, fine. I'm just telling you another degree of truth about that name. Yes, is not only will that name get you delivered, but it will seal you so that what's chasing you cannot get to you any longer. Isn't that wonderful? So what am I saying? This night, we're going to honor that name. Amen. This night, when I speak healing, yes, I'm going to speak it in that name. Yes. And listen, I'm not looking for just miracles. I'm looking for creative, watch this, notable miracles. I'm looking for stuff that the devil can't deny. You know how you can have things happen to you and you say, oh, that was coincidental. I don't want that. I want something that you know couldn't have happened. That I've talked about the doctors, you've been to them and they've signed off and said we can't do anything. I'm talking, but not only that, I want to impart to you the spirit of that name. So when you go home tonight, you'll start calling that name. You'll walk in the house, say, who's up in here? In the name of Jesus, this is off limits to you. Get out of this house. Are y'all with me? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what it takes to do that name. It takes boldness today. You go in places, and like I said, you can ride on public transportation and be talking about the man upstairs and all this kind of stuff. But just mention the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, everything will stop. Everybody will stop their conversation. Everybody will look at you and say, wow, what? But listen, don't back down. Because that's what they tried to do to Jesus. Make it so they won't preach or teach in that name. Somehow take that name out. I'm telling you right now, I speak boldness in your life. And that from this day forward, that name will be on your lips. And when you call that name, every demon of drug addiction, come on, every demon of alcoholic addiction, every demon of anger and every murder demon, everything in your neighborhood will have to bow. Every disease in your body must go. Say amen. Amen. And not only that, I'm looking for creative miracles. I said I'm looking for creative miracles. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 15, please. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. When I start calling that name and talk about how much power in that name and how much that name, how listen, devils don't want to hear that. They get kind of nervous when I start talking about that name and the power that's in this. Amen to this. So I'm not saying people are not saved. That has nothing to do with this. This is not, I'm not in a doctoral class. I'm in a class of the name. I'm just talking about the name. I'm talking about the use of the name. Go in the book of Acts and see the only time they gathered together, they cast out devils, they healed the sick, they got baptized, they filled with the Holy Ghost. It was all done in one name, and the name of Jesus, and it's a strong tower. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to be healed, you better get to know something about the name of Jesus. Want to keep the devil off of your children? You get to know something about the name of Jesus. Where did I tell you to turn? Matthew 15. Yeah, when I start talking about that name like that, and people got up and walked out. That's that demon walking out, man, because he about to get thrown out. Oh, they don't like that, I'm telling you, because they've held people for a long time. But they know there's a man of God up here that's teaching on that name, that's preaching about that name. So listen, don't let the devil talk you out of going somewhere. You get your what you came here for, because that's what you want. You want the evidence that the power is in that name. See, if I've got power of attorney, and that's what one man described it, because Jesus gave him his name. And if I've got power of attorney, how many of you know that if I've got a power of attorney to sign on the dotted line for my cousin can be in Europe. But if somebody wants to do a deal, I could sign for my cousin. I could sign away everything he's got because I've got his name. And I'm telling you, Jesus gave you his name. And it is unlimited as to how you can use it. Now, when you use it, he comes on the scene. I said, when you use it, he is right there. The Holy Spirit is right there to verify the power of that name. It is just like Jesus was there. Say amen to that. Amen. So look what it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Did I say 15?
Yes.
It says this. It says in verse 29, and Jesus departed thence. He came nigh into the Sea of Galilee. He went up into the mountain and sat there. And great multitudes of people came to him, having with them those that were what? Lame. Keep going. Dumb. Keep going. Dumb. Maimed. And many others. And they cast him down at whose feet? Jesus' feet. And what did he do with them? He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk. Come on. And the blind to see. And what did they do? So what am I saying to you? God tonight is going to do creative miracles. I said creative miracles. I'm talking about new parts, new body parts. Come on. I'm talking about new organs, new joints, new nerves, new eyes. I'm talking about new eardrums. I'm talking about new hair. I'm talking about new skin. I'm talking about new parts that have been broken off. Some people have been surgically removed. Some parts have been surgically removed. Got good news. It's coming back. God's going to restore that everything. Come on. He's going to make you whole. Now, you got to understand, I don't need to do this. I'm the messenger. And all I got to do is preach it and teach it. And the Holy Ghost is here to perform it. So with you tonight, I don't care what it is that you have right now, we're going to go into believing God and speaking things over your life. And we're going to see the Holy Ghost who is here, and he's going to rain down the anointing on your life and reconfigure. How many believers I got in here tonight? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Get on your feet. Praise God. Get on your feet. Just start praising God. Speaking in tongues. Glory to God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's time for miracles. I said it's time for miracles. If you can instantly get saved, you can instantly get healed. Glory to God. This is your day for a miracle. Come on, we got to get the miracle power of God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. The anointing destroys the yokes. The anointing destroys the yoke. That burden-removing, yoke-destroying power is in here. Now stop thinking that you're not worthy. God says you're worthy. Jesus died for you. I said he died for you. In the name of Jesus, I command sickness to be healed. I command bladders to be healed. I command prostate be healed. I command eye disease be healed. I command ear problems be healed. I command hair to be healed. I command all flesh to be healed. I command skin disease be healed. I command foot disorder be healed. I command joints be healed. Glory to God. I command organs to be healed. Pancreas be healed. I speak new ovaries in you now in the name of Jesus. I speak new cartilage in your joints in the name of Jesus. Meniscus be healed. And Father, I thank you now. I thank you that all parts of this body are now healed. I command new body parts. You come in now in the name of Jesus. I command now all kinds of depression, you be healed. All kind of mental disorders, you be healed. I command the occult to back out of your mind in the name of Jesus. You be healed in Jesus' name. Your fingers be healed. No more pain from arthritis, be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. In the name above all names, be healed. I command missing parts be recreated in Jesus' name. You be healed. Throat disorders be healed. Coughing be healed. Lung problems be healed. Emphysema go. Neuritis go. All nervous conditions cease in the name of Jesus. I command right now all your body to be made whole in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, manifest, 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 manifest in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. Now receive, receive. You don't have to work for it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Eki rasa tarabahonde. Neki sendilebia. Garabamanda la kese. Come on, you had pain in your neck. Move your neck now. Move your neck. That pain is gone. Garabamanda la kese tarabahonda. Right arm, right arm, right arm. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Left elbow, left elbow. Stretch it out. I put an end to that emphysema. In the name of Jesus, I cancel all skin disorders. Right now in Jesus' name. HIV, you are healed. In Jesus' name. No longer will you have this blood disorder. In the name of Jesus, your sins have been forgiven and you are now healed in Jesus' name. Now receive, receive, receive. Manifest. Holy Spirit, thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We honor you. Glory to God. All spinal conditions, all back problems, every back problem, I command the spirit of back problems to come out in Jesus' name. You go, and right now, spine, you line up with the word of God. All conditions in the pelvic area, I command it to be healed. I command readjustments of the pelvic area, readjustments of your bones in your back. In the name of Jesus, your spine, line up with the word of God. In Jesus' name, pain, come out, go, never return. We seal you up in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Gerebebesita. Bronda de Bahasa. Morobabaseti de Mahande de Bekia. Rinde de Kiso de la Bacosa and there. Garababanda la Cosa. Glory to God. 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 Let God be true and every man be a liar. This name is above every name. Glory to God. Satan, the blood against you. The blood against you. I said the blood is against you. I release the blood in faith. The blood is against Satan. Every tormenting demon, I command you to release your victim right now in Jesus' name. Now, I've got a lot of healings that took place in here, but there are 17 notable healings that took place in the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. Come on, and let's give God praise for it.